Welcome to Yorba Linda Seventh Adventist Church. This is Pastor Daniel Park, and we're so glad you're here. We hope you're blessed by this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Glad to have you here. I love that video of Will without Pastor DP. But I'm sure Pastor DP led by example. I really love this series. It really, really excites me to talk about Jesus and his ministry and the discipleship and our call to reach out to the people around us. For those of you who are here, you have made it. I have made it. We have made it. Man, what a full week it has been. Have you guys been busy? It was a really busy week for me too, right? So now that you're finally here, are you at peace? Do you have true rest? When do you find yourself at peace? You know, I can think of few, though temporary. You know, when my car is fully charged to like 90%, and I have like the luxury of not having to worry about charging for 300 miles, I have some peace. When staff meeting is done and all the action items have checkpoints next to them, when there's zero messages on the thread, I feel somewhat at peace. When sermon preparation is done, I feel at peace. You know, at the end of the day, when I cook sundubu and rice is cooked perfectly, and I have my side dish, and I have my laptop, and I have time to watch one K-drama, I have some peace. When I'm by myself, sitting on the porch, or some of you, no kids, just you, and you can open up that nice cold chisel can of Diet Coke. Maybe when you kneel at night to pray before going to sleep. Do you have peace then? You know, sometimes I don't feel at peace. You know, even after a long, fulfilling day and you come back to the house, sometimes you feel something missing. And you're also wondering, did I forget something? When do we have true peace? You know, the greatest miracle for the 21st century would be to provide true peace and rest for the soul, for the modern people that we are. Today, I want to share with you the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with five fish and two loaves of bread. And you know, like this relates to me because last Monday, I started something with one of our youth, Cameron. He messaged me out of nowhere and he said, Pastor, after he came back from Korea, he's like, let's start on a vegetarian diet. He's like, let's go pescatarian. And I'm like, but you had all the gogi from Korea just now. You know, it's not fair. And, but I was praying about it. I don't know why, but I was struggling with it. And, you know, the very few times I went on a date, all my dates were vegetarian. So I was like, God, are you telling me something? Is this, you know, should I really go vegetarian? And then when Cameron suggested, Pastor, let's go pescatarian, I'm like, that's a good middle ground to meet. So it's been about a week, and I miss it very much. You know, for those of you that wants to take me out to a Korean barbecue or that wants me to take you out, we can no longer do meat option. Sadly, it's now only vegetables, fruits, and fish, okay? But this story, it must be important because it's recorded in all four books of the gospel. You can find this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this indeed is a single event that they record. There are other events where Jesus is feeding, but Jesus feeding the 5,000 can be found in all four books. You may find these stories in Luke chapter 9, Mark chapter 6, Matthew chapter 14, and John chapter 6. And our main verse today is Mark chapter 6, verses 39. Mark chapter 6, verses 39. You can find on the screen. It reads, Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And I want you guys to think about that verse and let me know if you find any problem with this, because I do. I want you guys to think about it. Some verses before could give you a clue or help you on why I have the issue. And the thing that I have issue is with where they are. In Mark chapter 6, verses 39. When you go to Luke chapter 9, verse 12, it reads, they were at a remote place. Mark chapter 6, verses 35, it says, by this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15 says, remote place. John chapter 6, verse 10 also says, a remote place. And according to the Bible, the original word in Greek for this remote place is eremos. Okay? And that translates to a remote or barren place. To put it simply, what would that mean? What does eremos mean? It kind of translates to a desert, a deserted area. Okay? So, verse 39 says what? Jesus told them to recline on green grass. Not even just grass. Jesus says green grass. So how could they be sitting on grass when the very definition of desert is, right? There shouldn't be grass. How would you solve this? Because according to the Bible, that's the definition of not a desert. You know, the first possibility is that Mark was using a poetic style of writing. Let's go back to the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 34. It reads, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like, what? Sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Huh, sheep without a shepherd. Need feeding. Sounds very familiar to a famous chapter in the Bible, doesn't it? Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Green grass, green pastures. The other option is that perhaps Jesus really performed the miracle of changing that deserted place into a green grassy area. I don't know. And the third option really is that there was green grass there. And maybe the term deserted was used to describe a secluded, a rural area. I'm not going to tell you which one is right. I want you to study it, right? Dissect it for yourself and pray about it. But I will, however, give you the importance of this verse. Why is this so important to us? Jesus tells them to lie down on green grass. Because they look like sheep without shepherd. How did this deserted area become green grass for them? Because for them, the Messiah has come to communicate, be the God himself in person. and speak the message of good news. To them, it was like salvation. It was a spiritual feeding that they were deprived of and the spiritual feeding that they needed. I want to ask you, are you being fed? Do you have a shepherd in your life? Or do you not consider yourself required to be fed, taken care of? Have you grown up from a sheep? Have you become wise? Are we now the stable? Are we now the able, the wealthy? Are we now the people of Orange County? Do you have grass in your life? Is your grass green? Or is it greener on the other side? What does green pasture mean to you? Have you experienced the miracle of Jesus providing green grass in your life? If it wasn't a miracle, if it wasn't poetry, then at least we know that Christ is able to lead you to a grass in the middle of a deserted place. You know, it's not even just grass. Jesus says, green grass. And he doesn't suggest you take a seat. What does he do? He commands it. And so for me, the greatest miracle for modern time would not be about just feeding the 5,000 with five fish and two loaves of bread. But it would be bringing true, certain, absolute peace to our hearts, to the modern people. You know, but if you read about it, you find out prior to this experience, Jesus had already fed the people spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. This is the people who have lost their nation. Not all of them are going through a good day. Some may be going through, and life is hell on earth. They're lost, they're busy, and they are without peace. And they're seeking that comfort. Are we not living in modern desert? I believe that we as Christians absolutely need to have this green grass experience. But before the green pasture experience, for us to have this experience of peace, Jesus requires something of us. Let's go back to verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Right? They had a whole day of ministry. Right? They were with Jesus, and you know, they went from one boat to the other. They listened for a long time, and it's been a full day. Okay, let's take a break. Let's let them go so they can have something to eat. But he answered, this is being Jesus, you give them something to eat. Jesus asks of us, you give them something. Maybe in a long day of work, a lot of stuff to take care of. As a student, as a business person, as a parent, whatever responsibilities you've given. I've had a long, full day. Jesus says, you give them something. Give them something to eat. I think to Jesus, one of the reasons why people can't have peace, the reason why people are not happy, sometimes isn't that we don't have enough. Sometimes we have too much and we can't let go. sometimes we, yes, there are times when we don't have anything to give, but there are also times when we have too much and it's hard to give. They said to him, that will take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Hey, my thoughts exactly. You know, we just went on a youth retreat. I want us to go to the next slide. And there was 30 of us, and we stayed at Carlsbad Friday night, Saturday, and we left Sunday morning. That's what? Friday night, one meal. Saturday morning, lunch, dinner, and Sunday morning. So that's 5 meals. And I was worried. The thing that stressed me the most was food preparation, food provision, buying enough for 30 people. And a lot of times, I have a difficult time feeding 5 people. I'm barely going through taking care of myself. If I was asked by Jesus to feed 5,000, I may have had the same response. Jesus, 5,000? I could maybe do 5. But 5,000? Verse 38, Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. You know, first when Jesus asks you to give them something, you know what that means? It means that he's already given to you. I want you to think about that. And he has already provided for you. If God asks you to give, it means he's already given you. And God has already provided you with 100% of what you have. Whether it's your time, talent, skills, finance, what God asks of you is only from the blessings he has already poured into yours and my life. And God never asks you to give something that you don't have or don't have enough or that you have not received. When we don't give, we're making a statement, God has not blessed me. Part of the Green Pasture experience is acknowledging that God is our provider, that he is the one that gives to us first. Because if we don't think that God gave anything at all, everything that we consider to give comes from ourselves. And I might have trouble with that, on what I'm able to provide, because it's mine. And then we have an issue. It's hard to give something that is mine. You know, the word that I hear from little children, oftentimes, I think that's the word that I hear the most. It's mine. It's mine. Right? But oftentimes, they don't recognize that everything that is theirs has been given by their parents. And if our thought begins with what I can give, perhaps we shouldn't give. It needs to be, what has God given to me that I can give to be a blessing to others? And at the same time, we have a checkpoint that we can go through. If I'm not able to give physically, it means we have not been fed spiritually. Because in order for us to be able to give, we have to be fed first by God. There's an amazing equation here that we can learn. When Jesus performs a miracle, he uses people as part of his miracle equation. You give them something to eat is a code word for examine your life and check what God has given to you. What can be used that you already have, that God has already given to you, that can be used for his ministry. And then God prepares people to receive. God works with you first, and then God works with the people who are about to receive from you. then God blesses what is offered and given, and he blesses. We find that in verse 41. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Oftentimes we divide, but God's ministry, God's business is a business of multiplying. Not us. God uses what we give, and that God uses to multiply. What he divides multiplies. There's a challenge and call for us in this modern time to seek Jesus Christ as our shepherd. And for us to also recognize that we are sheep in need of the good shepherd. And he provides you and I with green grass. He will provide your physical needs, your spiritual needs, enough for leftovers. Verse 42, it says, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up how many baskets? 12. Why 12? What comes to your mind when you think of the word 12? The disciples, right? So how would that relate? You know, if they had believed, these 12 baskets, can you think of what they would have to do? They probably carried that, you know, one for each disciples to see and recognize and witness what? If they had believed in God, each basket would be there for them to see as proof of their faith. As they believed, they would physically be able to see and grasp. Wow, God did something through my faith, through what I'm able to give. Now, if they disbelieved, what would those baskets mean? It would be the very proof of their disbelief, not having faith in God. Whether they had believed or disbelieved, that basket would still be there for them to see. I think we each also have a basket full of broken pieces of fish and bread. And it is my prayer that the basket you see, the basket I see, also be the proof of our faith in God, and that God has blessed us. I want to share something. The last picture. So this is what we have gathered for the people in people who have suffered through LA fire. So that same week when the fire happened, we had a meeting, we gathered, and we announced and we sent information and requests to our church members who have responded that very same week. The email was sent out on Thursday, and Saturday we were able to gather these many goods, which we collected and gathered and donated to Southern California Conference, who distributed to people in LA who are going through fire. And that Saturday when I saw that, I was so proud of our church members. I was so proud and privileged to say, I serve this church that cares about people around us, that responds to the call for need, that we give our loaves of bread and fish knowing that God multiplies, knowing that God does good through us. And I realized that we really are a blessed people. I want you to know, today's message is not a call to give more offertory, or I'm not preaching about that. I'm preaching to say, I want God to bless our church even more, right? I want God to bless each and every single one of us individuals so that we're able to be a blessing to people around us. And I'm so proud that we are a church that responds to the need of our neighbors. This year, our theme is reaching out to the community, right? First year was individual, you. And then it's the family. And then it was a church. And now this year, where our focus for our build in the year four is on our community and our neighbors. And we also want to practice being disciples of Jesus. And Jesus says, before we experience that green grass, you give something. And I will prepare. And I think this year, we're going to have many more outreaches coming up. We're going to focus on discipleship. We're going to focus on reaching out to our neighbors around us. And I want you to think about this story. That Christ first fed. And so it's really important for us to be fed. You know, I thank enough for our potluck teams for preparing food for us every week, right? But food is important. Thank you, church, for feeding us. And thanks to all the teachers, everyone giving Sabbath school lessons, every volunteers who are out there in different classrooms dedicating for our children, everyone who studies Bible with us, everyone who's listening here, being fed. May this be a time to give thanks to God. Because I believe that God is feeding his people through our church, through you, through me, and everyone that comes here. And I pray that as this community grows and is able to recline at the feet of Jesus and receive what he provides, that what we give back to the community multiplies. Because God blesses it. Just as Jesus had prayed over the fish and the bread, as God blesses our ministry, I pray that our ministry grows, that it multiplies, that it reaches out to the neighbor next to you, that it reaches out to the people around you who are fed by you, whether it's the word of God or real food, just loving and kindness. I pray that we can all be people. Peace. And as I receive that, yes, I was able to share such love, such life back to the people next to us. So may we take charge and claim this promise. May we continue to bless others and look outward to our neighbors, to our community. Let's pray. Father God, sometimes, like, I'm not used to resting. I'm not used to being at peace. I don't know how to exercise it. But you have taught us through this story that giving is part of that rest and peaceful experience that is good for us. That you are the greatest teacher who have taught us as we give, as we share what you have already given to us. as we acknowledge God as our provider and chair, and have compassion for people around us, we are blessed through it. Help us to practice your love through our church as members and people of Yorbalinda Seventh-day Adventist Church. So give us more of your blessing so that we can give back more to your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.